day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your USA Hockey conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we'll conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference call, please press star then zero on your touchtone telephone. As a reminder, this conference call may be recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Dave Fisher.
Dave, thanks very much, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. From the NHL offices in New York, I'm Dave Fisher from USA Hockey, and as we get set to celebrate the fourth annual Hockey Weekend Across America presented by Reebok, we're pleased to be joined today by two elite athletes in the United States, Angela Ruggiero, of course, who played on our 2010 Olympic women's ice hockey team and has played in four Olympic Games, and Zach Parise, who played in the 2010 Olympic Winter Games and, of course, is currently playing for the New Jersey Devils. And you'll hear from each of them in just a couple of minutes and have a chance to ask questions afterwards as well. As I think most of you know, USA Hockey started Hockey Weekend Across America back in 2008. So we had a framework around a weekend to celebrate the game and those involved at all levels and also expose the game to new audiences. We have a theme behind each of the 3 days, Friday, wear your favorite hockey jersey, and Saturday, bring a friend to the rink day, Sunday, celebrate local hockey heroes day, and of course, we're extremely pleased this year to have NBC and the NHL on board on Sunday with Hockey Day in America and 6 hours of coverage on NBC, including an NHL doubleheader and them telling the stories of the fabric of our game at all levels and then finishing it off with the Heritage Classic on Versus on Sunday night. So quite a weekend ahead of celebration. You'll hear a little bit from our athletes today on some of their fondest hockey memories, their hockey heroes, and kind of where they see the state of the game in the United States. One thing I would mention on Wear Your Jersey Day, we encourage fans to go to facebook.com/USA Hockey and post their picture of themselves or their friends or groups in jerseys, and we'll populate that site and accumulate all those fun photos there. And I would also tell you that this call is being recorded and will be posted at USAHockey.com and HockeyWeekendAcrossAmerica.com, which is the official event site when we're finished here today. Also, one other reminder, we have another conference call set for tomorrow with Dave Ogren, the executive director of USA Hockey, and Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the National Hockey League. That'll be at 1:30 Eastern time, same number you used today. Well, to start us off today, and I owe her a debt of gratitude, Angela Ruggiero, of course, I mentioned, a four-time Olympian, and at 31, quite an accomplished woman. She is an author, was on the sixth season of The Apprentice. She's the all-time games played leader for any female that's ever played the game in the United States, and she is in Pyeongchang, South Korea right now as a member of the IOC bid evaluation team for the 2018 Olympic Winter Games. Three finalist sites. She's there with that team evaluating that city. She's already done the France bid and will go on to Germany in a couple of weeks, but it's 4 o'clock in the morning in South Korea, and she's agreed to join us and give us some of her thoughts on her fondest hockey memories, her hockey heroes, and also the state of the game. And I'll turn it over to you now, Angela. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. You know, I expect you to carry my hockey bag for the next tournament I'm at, but I'm having a great time right now with the IOC Evaluation Commission. It's pretty amazing to see everything that goes into the Olympics, and obviously being a member of the last four, I'm very appreciative of that. So just happy to be here.
Well, Angela, if you could talk just a little bit about some of your fondest hockey memories over the years and also share with us kind of your thoughts on the state of the game in hockey in the United States, we'd appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, obviously hockey's in my blood. I love it. I started playing when I was 7. My brother Bill was 6, and my sister Pam was 8. And probably some of my fondest memories are literally being in the car with the family and lugging our bags to Pasadena Ice Skating Center, where I grew up playing hockey. And maybe in particular, we won the state championship when I was 9 years old, the Mike B State Championship, and I'll never forget that, of course, having the whole family there and being a part of that. Perhaps being a fan on the other side, watching the LA Kings run in 92-93, almost winning the Stanley Cup, getting all the way to the final. And then, of course, just playing throughout the years, and I guess in my adult years, so to speak, when our U.S. team won the gold medal in and I was a member of that. You know, I'll never forget seeing our flag being raised and you know, really having everything come true at those Olympics. As far as state of the game, I think it's great. You know, it's growing so fast, especially at the 8 and under levels. We've seen USA Hockey just hit their 100,000 children have registered at that level, and I have to note the 100,000th member was a girl, so that's pretty exciting. On the women's side, to see the game continually grow and to continually provide opportunities, you know, to young girls to play in the United States. And, you know, speaking closely to the IIHF now, you know, they're taking some really great initiatives to try to provide those same opportunities for every country, and maybe the countries that aren't growing as fast as the U.S. So it's great to see the women's game growing globally and just across the board. I mean, I look forward to the Stanley Cup playoffs every year. You know, cheered on Zach in the Olympics and saw his exciting goal at the end there. And you know, it's once a hockey player, you know, you're part of a big family. So it's great to see the game grow at all levels. And Dave, remind me of the third question.
Third question was if you could talk about any of your hockey heroes.
Hockey heroes, okay. thanks, my brain isn't operating as quickly right now. No, like I said, I was a huge LA Kings fan, so I grew up, you know, sort of watching every single player on that team. From Luke Robitaille to Wayne Gretzky to Marty McSorley to Steve Duchesne to Tony Granato, Rob Stauber, who is now actually going to be our goaltending coach for the Team USA in the upcoming World Championships in April, so that's exciting. But I, you know, I have to say Cammy Granato on the women's side and Chris Bailey were two of my heroes when I first joined the team and continue to be my heroes, both veterans of the U.S. program and paved the way for me, you know, to have so many wonderful opportunities. I certainly learned a lot from them in the locker room and on the ice. And additionally, Chris Chelios, obviously all-time great on the men's side. That, you know, he's a defenseman. I love his style of play and you know, his work ethic more than anything. What he did to stay in the game and you could just see the love and he had for the game. So I guess those would be my hockey heroes.
All right, Angela, thanks very much. And next, it's a pleasure to introduce Zach Parise. I think you all know in his sixth season with the New Jersey Devils and still recovering from a knee injury he suffered in November, scored that remarkable goal in the waning seconds in the gold medal game that sent the game into overtime against Canada. And, of course, he's played in many events for the United States, six other world championship events at various levels. And I'm pleased to have Zach join us from here in New York. Zach?
Thanks, Fish. Thanks for having me and everyone joining. Real quick, it's exciting what's going to be taking place this weekend. It's great to see, as Angela was saying, it's great to see the game developing around here in spots that you never thought that they'd be playing ice hockey. So it's definitely fun to see, and the enrollment is up, and that's always a good sign. And I think hockey is definitely growing in the States here. My fondest hockey memories, geez, I would say, is growing up in Minnesota. It's I think that's pretty much what everyone's doing there is playing hockey when they're young, playing outside, getting up early and playing a lot of games and playing outside on the ponds with my family and my brother. And my dad wasn't too far retired from the game, so he was still able to get around on the ice a little bit. So we always had a good time doing that. And hockey heroes, I think I'm a little biased. Number one, just growing up in Minnesota, when watching Modano playing, you know, he was the best player on the Stars, and him being American, along with Broughton, those were guys that I really looked up to, and you want to try and, you know, kind of mimic your game after. And then as far as state of the game, like I said earlier, I think it's definitely going in the right direction. I think with the Olympics last year and the ratings that got, and then the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I just think that it's really growing, and it's the fan base is growing, you know, the TV is growing, and that's always fun to see from a player's perspective.
All right, Zach, thanks very much, and I really appreciate you and Angela being with us here today. At this time, we'll turn it back over to Sade, who's our operator on the call today, and Zach and Angela will be happy to take any questions that you might have. Sade?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen on the phone line, if you have a question at this time, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. If your questions have been answered and you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Again, if you have a question at this time, please press star then one. First question comes from Kevin Allen from USA Today.
Thanks to you guys for doing this, especially Angela, so early in the morning in Korea. Let me start. I have a question for each of you, but start with Angela. Obviously, you have a unique perspective because you were in the first Olympic Games that had a women's hockey tournament, and you're still playing. Could you just sort of give us an analysis of how far the American program has come from that first Olympic in terms of the talented players we have there and then the talent we now have competing for national team berths?
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. No, it is exciting to see. You know, I was the youngest player on that team in '98, and getting up there now on the on the other side. But the biggest thing is, I think the talent pool just keeps getting larger. So the base is growing, and you know, the numbers just continue to grow on the women's side. So you have a bigger base to pick from, and you know, especially with the NCAA fully adopting the sport, you know, 2001 and offering scholarships at so many different universities now, you have a lot more parents signing up their kids, kind of, that's our NHL, so to speak. And so I think the biggest thing is just a larger talent pool, and so that translates well onto the ice. You get, you know, I look across the room and I'm always in awe of my teammates and what great athletes they are and the amazing stick handling skills they have. And that's not to take anything away from the 98 team. It's just that I think now, you know, you can look around and, you know, it's a lot harder to make the team each and every year, which obviously is a sign of growth.
And Zach, I wanted to ask you about the, you know, the measuring stick for the American program for as long as I've been involved in hockey has been the Canadians. And I wonder if you could just sort of analyze where you think that rivalry is and where the Americans are now in comparison to the Canadians.
I think we've definitely...
We'll have a good chance coming up here in World Championships in April. I'm looking forward to that. They'll be in Zurich this year. Yeah, the Canadians, we're neck and neck every year, and that really, it's what it's all about. I love playing Canada, and really when I'm in the gym and on the ice, it's Canada's always in the back of my head. They're good motivation. But it's, you know, we tend to go back and forth, and, you know, Finland and Sweden are right up there with us. You can't underestimate them. You know, we've lost to them a few times in different tournaments. So they're right on our backs, but yeah, Canada is definitely right there with us and looking forward to playing them coming up.
Zach, can you answer the same question, just where the American men are in comparison to the Canadian men?
I think we've definitely closed the gap. There's no question about that, with our performance in Vancouver, beating them the first time, but you know, unfortunately losing the big one. But, you know, even down to the junior level, the under-18s, I mean, a while ago, you wouldn't even think of the Americans beating the Canadians, and now, you know, I think we're doing it. You know, not every time, but we're definitely beating them here and there. So I think that's definitely a good sign for us. And they're always the team to look at. I mean, they've always got you know, the team to beat. Doesn't matter what tournament you're in, the Canadians are the team to beat. And I think that the United States is starting to kind of get into that conversation too, as being one of the preseason favorites or pre-tournament favorites, I should say.
Thanks, Zach.
All right, one thing I would just, before we take the next question, say I'd want to jump in and let people know on Saturday, of course, the theme of the day is Bring a Friend to the Rink, and we're excited to the fact that over 200 rinks across the United States will host a Try Hockey for Free clinic. 48 of the 50 states will have these events, and we expect more than 4,000 kids on that day to try hockey for the very first time, so that certainly is an exciting development. And, Sade, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jeff Klein from New York Times.
Yeah, hi. I want to thank you guys for doing this as well. And, Angela, I wanted to ask you something about the growth of the game. At the Hockey Summit over the summer in Toronto, there was talk about the NHL possibly getting involved in helping sponsor or helping to grow a women's league. Can you tell us about those efforts, where they stand?
Yeah, thank you. Definitely if we want to get the women's game going on the professional, even, you know, semi-professional is what we have now, side, we're going to need the NHL to get on board, and quite frankly, I think it's a win-win for both of us. In order to grow the fan base, I think the NHL really needs to engage more women, and similar to NHL, the NFL, I see so many women in the stands there, but, I think that the talks have been initiated, right now, and Bettman is well aware of our league. I play on a team in the Canadian Women's Hockey League. They'll be changing the name soon because now they're branching out into the U.S. And I think the biggest thing is to possibly get those franchises that have cities like Boston, like Toronto, like Montreal, that have these teams, to sort of partner up and create some sort of relationship and hopefully a financial relationship as well with the NHL, even if we start out small to get the league churning. So, you know, talks are in place, and we'll see where they go.
Okay, and I think there's a quick follow-up, I guess sort of related, is that, you grew up in Pasadena. I imagine that when you were young, the interest in hockey in Southern California was only a fraction of what it is now. Is that a fair assumption in terms of youth involvement and just the atmosphere?
Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, the reason I got involved, my brother came home with his gear. I thought he looked cool. And the person at the rink that was signing him up, said, "Do you have any other kids? We really need to fill our team. There's no boys or girls in order to fill this roster." And my dad's like, "Oh, I have two other girls." And he said, "Sign them up. There's a team discount, more kids. We don't care if they're boys or girls. We need to fill the roster." And I remember wearing my jersey to school on career day, and, everyone looked at me like I was crazy. Like, you play hockey. No one plays hockey in California. And, now today to see players coming out of the state of California and players, making it into the NHL and making it on, basically all levels is really exciting.
Okay, thanks.
And, Jeff, too, you may know this, but I know the NHL has the services of Val Ackerman as a consultant to pursue further the women's support of the women's game, and you can ask Dave Ogren tomorrow a little bit about that. I know he's had a lengthy conversation with Val about that topic here recently.
Okay, thank you. I will.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Craig Constance from the Sporting News.
Yeah, Angela, Zach kind of touched on it a little bit, and this actually piggybacks on what Jeff was asking, but just, he mentioned just people playing ice hockey in areas, that they didn't traditionally play. I mean, have you, when you're competing, have you noticed people coming from all over the U.S.? I mean, has it gotten to the point yet at the international level, when you're competing at that level, that we're bringing in women from all over the U.S.?
Can you rephrase the question?
Have you just noticed a growth in where the women are coming from, as far as not your non-traditional? I mean,
yep, okay, Zach is right on point. You're getting a lot of what I think is happening is you're getting the growth in the traditional areas where you've seen that good fan base, but you're also getting these remote locations where you get this core group of sort of diehard hockey fans and families that really latch onto the game. So you're getting players that come out of, Seattle or Texas now or Oklahoma, and it's pretty exciting because, they're sprinkled in there. But enough players are getting to the point where they're making, NCAA teams or making it in the junior level, they're making onto U.S. teams, and obviously that's a sign of dedication of their families and the players themselves, but also that the game is spreading nationally.
Thanks, Angela. And a follow-up for Zach, kind of in light of what we've seen in Phoenix's battle over the last year and even news today out of Atlanta, the ownership there saying that, they have to find a new buyer or they're moving. I mean, how important, in your opinion, Zach, is it to keep these teams in these markets to continue that growth?
It's really important. I mean, you need I think that's a big part of growing up and playing hockey is that you want to support your local team. You want to, like I said earlier, you want to be like those players, and you want to idolize a local hero. So, you know, for the expansion and development of the game in the United States, I think it's important for those teams, you know, to be in that market and you know, draw and try as best they can to draw that fan base and attract the fans.
Great. Thanks, Zach.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Bob Duff from Windsor Star.
Angela, I wanted to ask you about, you know, so much of hockey memories are home. I know Michigan has been one of your homes, and the training camp for the World Championships is going to be in Ann Arbor. What does that mean to you to get that chance to kind of also play a couple games against Canada that close to somewhere you called home?
Yeah, no, I'm really excited to get back. You know, my mom, my sister, they're still in Michigan. We've lived there the last 15 years, and obviously coming home to Michigan after winning the gold medal in 98 and subsequently training there, you know, really every summer since. And it's great that we're going to be able to play Canada there twice. I think it's the 7th and 8th of April coming up. And, you know, I've held several camps in Michigan and just seen the game grow overall every year. And so, yeah, it's really exciting. I was when I saw that was on the schedule, you know, I called home right away and told my mom to get everyone to, you know, make sure they book those dates on the calendar, because it's not that often that you get to play a big game in, you know, the state that your family's from. So I'm really excited to get back.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Kevin Allen from USA Today.
Hey, Zach, I want to take you back to, it was just over a year ago, obviously, the big gold medal game. And I just, you know, because Gary Bettman has not committed yet to taking the NHL players to the next Olympic Games, I just wanted to get your thought. I mean, obviously that was an amazing game in terms of the impact it had on American television and obviously Canadian television ratings as well. But can you just talk about, you know, the importance of NHL participation in the Olympics in terms of growing the sport in America?
Well, we definitely want to play. I mean, from a player's perspective, you know, that's the ultimate. I guess it would be really unfortunate for us, you know, for our age group. I mean, when we were, you know, at that amateur time when they would have been taking amateur players, they are taking NHLers, and then all of a sudden we get to the NHL and they're switching back. So it would be really unfortunate for us. But, you know, I think from a fan's perspective, you want to see your country's best. And we all enjoyed playing that. We understand it makes, you know, the NHL schedule a little tougher, it makes things a little tighter. I think, and I've said it before, I mean, it was, you know, some of the most fun playing that I've ever had. And you'd hate to not be able to have that opportunity again. And so I sure hope that they can figure something out and try and get the players, the NHL players, to head over there. Because I just think, like you said, with the TV and the attraction that it got, it was amazing, and it would be nice to follow it up with an even better performance.
I wonder if you could sort of kind of help me describe like what it's like to. I mean, obviously you scored a big goal in that gold medal game. Can you kind of talk me through how you scored that goal and how you felt about scoring on that stage? You know, when you know that. I mean, it's even bigger, obviously, than the Stanley Cup to play at that stage.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the goal itself, I guess, walking through it, it was. It seemed like for the longest time we get it in, they kept chipping it out, and finally we had a little bit of sustained pressure. And I think it was Pavelski had a puck, and then Kane walked it out of the corner and just took like a spinning shot on net, and somehow Jamie Langbrier and I found ourselves in front of the net just by ourselves. And I think the puck hit Jamie in the skate, and Luongo kind of caught him off guard a little bit, and then I just found myself with no one around an open net. And then I guess after that, you just, it's one of those things, I guess, you hear players talk where you don't really remember much after it. Just so much excitement. And then you're thinking, okay, let's just survive this next 24 seconds, and then we'll try and get the next one in overtime. But And then going into the dressing room, it was, it was crazy. It was so much excitement, still nerves, but just the opportunity that we had, it was just one more goal, and we're going to win a gold medal. So, like I said, the whole thing was pretty surreal, and even just looking back on it today and thinking about it, and from my standpoint, it's tough to believe that I scored that goal.
Thanks, Zach. Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Chris Peters from USAHockey.com.
Hi, Zach. This question's for you. There's a lot of young American talent coming into the NHL right now, with guys like Cam Fowler, Kevin Shattenkirk, obviously the Canes before you, or after you, rather. And I just was wondering what you thought of that, that influx of talent coming in from the U.S. and the variety of developmental backgrounds available to those guys. What do you think of the talent coming into the league right now out of the U.S.?
The talent level is great. I think you're seeing a lot more American kids going in the first round and high draft picks. I think that speaks a lot for the youth hockey and the development and the national program in Ann Arbor. They're doing a great job developing the guys. And another big part of it too is going to college. I mean, the development they're getting at the college, the practicing they're getting, the workouts and the strength training that they're getting. I think they're more prepared to play when they do get to the professional level. And it's not as if, I think it used to be where it's almost as if you had to go major junior to make it to the NHL, and they didn't give college players much of a chance. And I think you're really seeing, that the American kids can go to college and still have a great chance of making it to the NHL. And then the schools are doing a really good job of, like I said, of developing their players and getting them prepared. And also with the USHL too. I mean, it's giving another alternative, because I know in Minnesota, I mean, you're kind of limited to how many games you can play, and that makes it tough. I mean, I think they can only play 25, 30 games, and you have that option of going to the USHL to get a little more development, play against older guys, and I think that league has done a great job at sending players to college and then preparing them again for the next level.
All right, thanks a lot, Zach.
Yep.
Our next question comes from Jesse Pierce from USA Hockey Magazine.
Hi, guys. Thank you both so much again. Angela, this question's for you. I know we had touched base about the Olympics. Is it too soon to be thinking about whether you're going to be attending the Olympics in 2014, and how hard is it when you're on the IOC committee to get involved in that training when you're obviously in South Korea right now and traveling all over?
Yeah, that's a big question. Again, I'm up early now. I can go right to the gym from here. I took the summer, thanks for the question, trying to reevaluate where I was in my career, and obviously playing in four Olympics has been amazing, and like Zach said, it's an honor to represent your country. And I thought about it and stepped away from the game for a little bit. I had to get my shoulder fixed right after Vancouver, and I missed it too much, so I got my skates back on, and I'm training again. And yeah, the goal is to definitely go to Sochi, and that would be my last Olympics. I think I'd have to be done after that. But yes, Sochi is kind of after coming up just short in Vancouver, I guess I still have a little bit of an itching to get back and finish my career with that gold medal.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Ira Padel from Associated Press.
Hi, guys. Thanks for doing this. This question is for Zach. I'm just curious to see how your perspective of this hockey season has been, being that you haven't been playing very much and had a chance maybe to, step back and watch more, not so much as a guy who's playing the game every day, but just seeing it just from a step back, the social issues about concussions or increase in fighting and things like that. How have you viewed this season?
I think it's been a pretty unique season. I mean, for our team in particular, but you're seeing a lot more. I think what's happening is there's a lot more attention drawn to guys getting hit in the head, where it might have still happened before, but now it's definitely under the microscope. So you're seeing that a lot more, and they're making more of a point, more of a bigger deal of it. And then, you throw in the games with the line brawls, the goalie brawls. I mean, I think there's things that you haven't seen in this game for a while, and they tried to, clean up. But, I mean, it's been entertaining. There's no question it's been entertaining. You're seeing goals, you're seeing fights, you're seeing a little bit of everything, and I think the fans are definitely getting their money. There's money's worth, but at the same time, I think as players, you have to understand when what lines can't be crossed, and the NHL is gonna put down some discipline if they feel it has been. So, it's definitely different when you're not playing and you're watching every game from the suite. If you get a different perspective, game's a lot easier from up there, that's for sure. But it's sometimes good to see things in a different light.
Are those things that are red flags for everybody else, the common fan, or even someone who just views it from afar? And are you seeing things differently now than you do when you're just immersed in it every day?
How do you mean red flags?
I mean, like the increase of head hitting or things like that. Are these bigger brawls and games, and on a day-to-day basis, when you're at practice and playing, you might not see those games or see it, firsthand. But now you're seeing it differently, and maybe viewing things differently when you're not playing as when you are playing.
Well, I mean, I don't think that these brawls are going to be on a regular basis. It's not going to turn back to the 70s here. It's not, there's rules against that stuff. It's not going to happen. I don't think there's any reason for panic about it. It just happened. Two of those games happen to take place in the same week, but the emotions get high during a game, and some things did get out of control, but it's not the end of the world. I don't think it should be a black mark by any means.
Thanks, Zach.
Yeah.
Thank you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press star then one. I'm showing no further questions at this time.
All right, Ted, thanks very much, and thanks to Jamie Horan for letting us use his office here today at NHL headquarters. And thanks to all of you for participating, particularly to Angela and Zach. A reminder, tomorrow we'll have Dave Ogren and Gary Bettman with us as we build up towards Hockey Weekend across America, which starts on Friday. And again, for more information and all the rinks that are hosting Tri Hockey for free clinics and everything else, highlights happening around the country, just go to hockeyweekendacrossamerica.com, and you'll find plenty there. Thanks again, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This concludes our program for today. You may all disconnect and have a wonderful day.